positive even as your difficulties rise. When that happens, you know you can weather almost any storm and come out of it better than ever. Attitude potential questions. 1. What kind of self-talk do you engage in? Have you ever paid attention to it? If not, take some time to observe it. What could you do to make what you say to yourself more positive? 2. How would you score yourself in the areas of humility, teachability, resilience, and perspective? Which of the four could you most readily improve? What can you do immediately to improve it? 3. If there is so much evidence that having a good attitude makes people happier and more productive, why do you believe people still choose to have negative attitudes? What could you do to encourage others to choose to have more positive attitudes? Chapter 14. Risk Potential. Your choice to get out of your comfort zone. Not everyone is a natural risk taker. Perhaps you're facing a risky challenge right now. Or you are considering taking on a high-risk project. Or maybe you desire to do something significant and you sense that something big but risky is on the horizon. If so, I know how you're feeling because I've been in your shoes. On the other hand, maybe you've been risk-averse your whole life and you recognize how much it has held you back and limited your potential. No matter what your circumstances are, here are some things you need to know that will help you take more risks. 1. Reality is your friend during high-risk times. When taking big risks, you can't depend on hype or wishful thinking, because those things cannot withstand the heat of risk. You need to understand what you're dealing with, examine the worst-case scenarios, and look reality dead in the eye. How do you look reality in the eye when evaluating a risk? Ask yourself some questions. Who else has done it? How bad can it get? How good can it get? Can I try it on for size? Is there room for error? Do I believe in myself? The more questions you ask and answer, the better prepared you are to weigh the risk and gauge whether the risk is smart or foolish. 2. You must learn to become comfortable outside of your comfort zone. Risk is rarely comfortable. It requires us to get out of our comfort zone. That's where we need to live when we're risking big. How do you deal with that? For me, anything worthwhile that I've ever done initially scared me to death. First speech? Frightened beyond belief. First board meeting? Scared stiff. I was never good the first time, and I was always scared on top of that. You have to deal with your emotions and doubts. To continually succeed in high-risk environments, you have to be continually comfortable being uncomfortable. How? Start with these three strategies. Don't look in the mirror. Take the focus off of yourself. You need to always keep in mind that life is not about you. You can't worry about how you look to others. You can't be afraid of looking bad. Don't count losses. Instead, count lessons. Instead of avoiding losses, learn from them. Ask, "What did I learn?" When you seek lessons more than you avoid losses, you become more comfortable with risk. Focus less on your fear and more on your dreams. When you focus on your dreams, your heart is 100% in. 3. Good leadership gives you a greater chance for success. Everything rises and falls on leadership. That is never truer than during times of risk. The size of the leadership must be equal to the size of the risk. If you're going to attempt something difficult, you need good leadership. You need to either provide it yourself or find a partner who can help you lead. And if you're going to try something huge, you'll need lots of leaders. Any great attempt without great leadership is destined to fizzle out. If you are preparing to take a big risk, it may require every leadership skill you possess to accomplish it. Don't take that lightly. Keep growing as a leader. The more you increase your leadership potential, the more you increase your capacity for risk. And if you're already a leader, you also need to provide others with a pro-risk environment so that they're willing to deal with their fears and take steps forward outside of their comfort zones. 4. The bigger the risk, the more help you'll need from others. While it's fun to dream about the potential upside of any risky venture, the reality of it can make us want to yell, "Help!" at the top of our lungs. The greater and riskier the venture, the greater our need for help. And to be successful, you don't just need help, you need the right kind of help. Mass movements don't begin with the masses. They always begin with a few. But if those few are the right people, there is potential for a mass movement. What are the characteristics of the right people? They like a challenge. When you cast a vision for something big, it is both a uniter and divider. People of high capacity who like a challenge rally to you. Small people leave. The size of the vision determines the size of the person who signs up. They play big. What's more dangerous than playing big? Never taking a risk. When you're doing nothing, nothing good happens. You want people willing to join you in taking a big risk to try something new, even if it's difficult. They are honest with themselves. When you're attempting something difficult, you want people on your team who know themselves and are honest with themselves. They have to know what they're capable of and know what the stakes are. And as a leader, you need to help make sure they know these things. Even if you're not someone who owns a company, holds a leadership position, or leads some kind of team, you may still need help when you tackle a risk. Look for like-minded people who are willing to face challenges to assist you. It will greatly increase your risk capacity. 5. Taking risks always requires personal courage. If you want to expand your potential, and therefore your life, you need to be willing to take greater risks. You need to be willing to stand alone. You need to gather the courage to do what others might not do. Not just for the sake of doing something bold and risky, but because you can see the potential reward. What's great about taking smart risks is that it not only expands your possibilities, but it also inspires other people to want to join you in your efforts. People follow courage. When someone is willing to stand alone in the beginning and face opposition, they can earn respect and credibility. Eventually, others will see their courage and rally around them. So what are you going to do? Are you willing to increase your risk potential? Are you willing to fail doing something big? Are you willing to count lessons more than losses? Are you willing to model the way by becoming comfortable outside of your comfort zone? These are not small things, but if you're not willing to do them, you'd better become comfortable with only small things, because you'll accomplish big things only if you're willing to take big risks. I hope you are. Risk potential questions. 1. How good are you at facing reality and assessing the odds when you prepare to take a risk? If you're not especially good at it, who can you enlist to help you count the cost? 2. When you prepare to take a big risk, how much consideration do you normally give to leadership and the formation of a team to help you? Explain. How must you change to improve in this area? 3. Have you learned how to deal with the discomfort of being out of your comfort zone? Have you learned how to function in spite of your fear? Or does being in risky territory stop you? What must you do to grow in this area? Chapter 15. Spiritual Potential. Your Choice to Strengthen Your Faith. This is a chapter that I had to write. I'm writing about my relationship with God. My faith choice has been instrumental to increasing my potential in every area of my life. My choice to strengthen my faith has done more to enable me to grow than any of the other choices in this audiobook. However, everyone makes his or her own choice in this area. So if this subject bothers you, you can stop listening and skip ahead to chapter 16. I want your spiritual potential to increase. I want your return to be high on the investment you make in your work. I want your relationships to flourish. I want you to have your greatest years ahead of you. So I'm praying for you. Specifically, here is my prayer for an increase in your spiritual capacity, based on a passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. 1. I pray that you will know God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says, "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. It's amazing and humbling to me that Christ wants to live in me. I know me, and sometimes I don't even want to live with myself. But God does. What a beautiful picture of God that paints. If you are 1,000 steps from God, He will take 999 steps in your direction. And then He will wait for you to open your heart and ask Him into your life. God wants you to want a relationship with Him. 2. I pray that you will experience God's love. The passage in Ephesians continues, "And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God." God wants us to live a full life with full capacity. He truly wants the best for us. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and have it abundantly." As you heard that statement, did you notice the comma? Which side of the comma do you live on? Are you living the life of abundance you desire? That's what Jesus offers. He offers extravagant love and life at its fullest. The most wonderful joy is to have a relationship with God and experience His amazing love. When Scripture says that God's love has breadth, it means that God's love includes everyone, of every faith, of every race, of every nationality, and of every age or stage of life. God asks us to test the length of His love. What is its length? Forever. God's love is never-ending. And the best part of it is that His love doesn't depend on me or on you. God loves you as you are. Not as you would like to be, or as you appear to be, but just as you are. And nothing you can do can make Him love you more. What does it mean to plumb God's depths? The implication is that no matter how low you go, God's love is deeper. God is forgiving. For many of us, the bad news is that our capacity to sin has taken us lower than we ever believed we would go. The good news is that God's capacity to forgive us is greater. In fact, God not only forgives our sins, but He also forgets our sins. He said, "I will be merciful to them in their wrongdoings, and I will remember their sins no more." Wow! Rising to the height of God's love means being lifted up by Him. There is no one more uplifting than God. God wants you to reach your full potential. He created you with a plan and gave you gifts to help you accomplish that plan. He will be the greatest lifter in your life if you let Him. 3. I pray that you will allow God to do great things in your life. As you listen to the rest of the passage from Ephesians, embrace the words, because they are for you. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine, or guess, or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. These words apply to you, but they must be activated by your faith. Jesus said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." I call this the faith factor. There are many factors that influence your life over which you have no control. Your background, nationality, age, giftedness. These were determined by the sovereignty of God. But there is one important factor you do have control over. How much you choose to believe God. God puts no limitation on faith. Faith puts no limitation on God. Every year in December, I pray and ask God to give me a word or phrase for the coming year. In 2016, I sensed that my phrase for the year was God room. Today, those are the words I use to express my faith. What do I mean by God room? Let me explain by quoting again from the previous statements in Ephesians. God room is all about God. God can do anything. These words should set the bar of our expectations about God at a very high level. We need to be aware of how great a space there is between what we can do and what He can do. That's God room. Room for God to do what only He can do. We do the possible. God does the impossible. That shows us who He is. God room is bigger than I am. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. How much is far more? It's not a little more or some more. It's far more. It's so much more that I don't think we can comprehend it. Don't even try to understand how much bigger God is than us. We can't. No words can ever come close. God is God, and we are not. That is both simple and humbling. If we can explain our life and believe we can solve everything in it, then we're not giving God room to live in it. God room is a place within me where I choose to let God do what only He can do. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. God doesn't force anything on us. Not even His love. He offers it to us gently. And He works within us only because we choose to let Him do that. Now that is a huge potential choice. The question we all have to answer is simply, how much room will we give God? It's like His love. We can experience as much as we desire. God room is unexplainable and undeniable. Perhaps the most amazing thing about God room is that God allows average people like you and me to have access to it. And as a result, God can do amazing things with and through us. We don't have much to offer God, except ourselves. God wants our willingness, not our strengths. If you think you can do everything on your own, and you're searching for some secret reservoir of strength, then stop. Because there isn't one. Focus on God's endless resources. He can do what we cannot do, and He's willing to do it if you're willing to give Him credit for it. That's my prayer for you, and I will continue to pray for you. I'm glad you decided to listen to this chapter. God's invitation is extended to you. He loves you. I hope you will accept that love, if you haven't already. Not only will it maximize your potential, but it will also change every aspect of your life. If you don't yet know God, you have no idea what He can and will do for you. Spiritual potential questions. 1. Up until now, how did you think of God? Is what you heard in this chapter consistent with your beliefs, or did you learn something new? 2. When you heard that God loves you no matter what, and that you can do nothing to make him love you more than he already does, how did that make you feel? 3. What action do you intend to take in response to God's invitation to you? Chapter 16. Growth Potential. Your choice to focus on how far you can go. In this chapter, I want to share with you what a growth environment looks like. If you possess a fixed mindset, then putting yourself in a growth environment will help you to change, grow, and adapt. If you already have a growth mindset, then a growth environment will accelerate your development and increase your capacity at a higher rate. And if you happen to be a leader, you can study the characteristics of a growth environment and begin to create one within your department or organization that will help develop your team members. I've studied different environments and created a few as a leader. In my 40-plus years of experience, I've identified 10 characteristics of a positive growth environment. 1. Others are ahead of you. Are you at the head of your class? If so, then you're in the wrong class. You need to find people who are ahead of you so that you can learn from them. All my life, I have been very intentional about finding people who are faster, better, smarter, bigger, and older than I am to learn from. I always stretch better when someone is ahead of me. So will you. In your environment, are there people who are ahead of you? If not, you need to find some. 2. You are continually challenged. Some of the most significant things in life take great time and effort. The joy of the journey toward them comes from the new discoveries we make along the way. Our new knowledge and discoveries become the motivation for us to continue the journey. It is only after we go a long distance that we can look back and realize what we didn't know. Soon, we begin to realize that it is not the destination that we're seeking. Rather, we desire the growth that we experience, and we find ourselves embracing the journey with full knowledge that there is no finish line. At that time, we stop asking, "How long will it take?" and begin to wonder, "How far can I go?" 3. Your focus is forward. In a positive growth environment, your focus is on moving forward. Old people talk a lot about yesterday. They reminisce about the good old days. Well, let me tell you, the good old days weren't that good. Old people just think they were because they're old and can't remember. I don't want to look back, and neither should you. 4. The atmosphere is affirming. People do best when they are encouraged. Do you live and work in an environment where you are affirmed for being who you are? Do people encourage you to grow and cheer you on when you make choices that make you better? If so, you know how much that helps. If not, you need to find a place where people build each other up, not pull them down. 5. You are out of your comfort zone. You've heard an entire chapter on risk and getting out of your comfort zone, so I don't need to say too much here. But I do want to tell you this. There is no growth in your comfort zone, and no comfort in your growth zone. So are you getting out of your comfort zone on a regular basis? 6. You wake up excited. One of the great mysteries in life to me is the number of bored people in this world. They yawn when they wake up, and keep yawning all day. I can't live that way. Every day I wake up with a feeling of excitement. Do you wake up excited every morning? Every day we have a choice to explore and make the most of our opportunities for growth, or ignore them. What choice are you making? 7. Failure is not your enemy. In a growth environment, you are allowed, or even encouraged, to fail. You know that failure is not your enemy when you value the lessons failure has taught you. It helps you to develop resilience. You use your failures to teach others. Failure is inevitable. Learning is optional. I've found that my passion for trying is greater than my fear of failing. You'll know you have lost your fear of failure when you are not afraid to share those failures with other people. 8. Others are growing. If you do not see other people around you growing, then you know you're not in a growth environment. If you want to grow into your goals, you'll benefit greatly from being surrounded by others who are growing. Not everyone wants to grow. After several failed attempts to help others develop, I started asking the people I would like to develop to answer 3 questions before I would start helping them. Do you want to grow? Will you do it? Can you do it? The answers need to be yes, or else why waste the time and effort trying to invest in them? Their answers determine my effort. 9. People desire change. There are many doors of opportunity that lie before you. You must open and walk through these doors in order to go to the next level of your life. Many of those doors will not be what they seemed in the beginning. There will be times when you'll need to turn around, close that door, and go in a different direction. That's okay. This is all a part of change. When a door doesn't lead somewhere worthwhile, make a U-turn. As you explore new opportunities, keep these ideas in mind. Don't be afraid of backtracking. When you do it correctly, you haven't lost ground. You've just found your footing. Don't close a door until you know the lesson you have learned from that experience. Don't close a door to quit. Go to another door. When you leave something, have something to go to. If you keep opening and closing the same doors, the problem is not lack of opportunities. The problem is you. Ask the people who know you best and love you most to speak honestly into your life. Change can be difficult to master, yet change is always required for growth. I hope you find these insights about doors of opportunity helpful as you navigate through uncharted waters. 10. Growth is modeled and expected. In my book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, I teach the law of modeling, which says it's hard to improve when you have no one but yourself to follow. That's why good modeling and an expectation of growth are so important in a positive growth environment. Ideally, that modeling should occur from the very top all the way down into every area of the organization. Nobody is too high or too low to grow. You can determine if you're in an environment where growth is modeled and expected by asking these 2 questions. Who brings the best out of me in this organization? Who do I bring the best out of in this organization? If you can readily list the names of people who are bringing the best out in you, and others could write your name as a model of growth, then you are in a growth environment. I hope you'll make growth a priority for yourself and the people in your life today. It is one of the most important and profitable choices you can make. It's like building your own vehicle, getting out on the open road, and choosing your own destination. It's being as active as you can be in your own destiny. Growth potential questions. 1. How many of the 10 characteristics described in the chapter does your current environment possess? What does that say about that environment? Do you need to make any changes? If so, what are they? 2. Whom have you actively chosen to mentor you in your life? Do you currently have a mentor? If not, whom should you approach to help you become better? 3. What direction would you like to go in your life? How do you need to grow to get there? What steps can you take today to start you off in that direction? Chapter 17. Partnership potential. Your choice to collaborate with others. Do you believe in partnerships? Do you develop them? If you don't recognize how powerful they are, then do this. Work hard on something for a long time by yourself. When you have maxed yourself out and can do no better, bring in a few qualified people and ask for their help. You will be humbled by how quickly they can improve what you were doing, and blessed by how much they can improve what you were doing. If you are not partnering with good people right now, you are not even close to reaching your potential. Ask yourself these questions. When was the last time you asked someone to make you better? When was the last time you realized someone could make you better? When was the last time you craved a fresh perspective from others? When was the last time you tapped into the thinking of someone else? When was the last time you asked for others' advice and opinions? When was the last time you got better because someone made you better? When was the last time you gave credit to others? Having partners is like adding 1 plus 1 and coming up with 3. To enjoy great partnerships, you need to be a great partner. Recently, the John Maxwell Company signed a partnership agreement with the Hendrick Automotive Group. On the official start day, hundreds of leaders from Hendrick joined me and my team to launch this exciting interaction. On behalf of the John Maxwell Company, I spoke to both companies on the potential of partnership. What I shared with them, I now want to share with you. To be a great partner. 1. Place their agenda at the top of your agenda. If you want to partner with others, then be the first to meet them where they are. Find common ground and place their agenda at the top of your agenda. In essence, become a servant leader and measure each day by the seeds you sow more than by the harvest you reap. This step is crucial to a successful partnership. Only when you are on the same page, trying to accomplish the same goals, is there the kind of synergy that partnerships can provide. 2. Add value to them on a daily basis. Adding value is the only way a partnership will work. Partnerships begin to disintegrate when one person starts receiving more than they are giving. The only way to be given an opportunity to partner with others tomorrow is to add value to them today. If you want to be a good partner and benefit by increasing your partnership capacity, you need to add value to your partners. 3. Give them influence, ideas, and tools as resources. One of my great joys in life is providing resources to people. In the early days when I first began training leaders, I realized that teaching wasn't enough. If I provided people with resources, they were able to go to whole new levels in their leadership. Today, I try to help people by sharing 3 things with them. Influence. Who do I know that you should know? Who do you know that your partners should know? How can you connect people who would otherwise never meet? This is a fantastic way to add value to others. It's one of the reasons that every good partnership increases potential relationships. Ideas. What do I know that you should know? How can you help others by sharing ideas? What can you give that they can't provide for themselves? Every time you share an idea, you take nothing away from yourself, but you add tremendously to your partners. Tools. What do I use that you could use? Tools are systems and practices that are proven to be successful. I have found that systems are the best pathways to achieve desired results. I believe practices are the best behaviors that give desired results. What systems and practices can you share with your partners to help them become better? 4. Tailor your service to meet their needs. My first responsibility as a partner is to know you, know your organization, know your needs, and know how I can add value to you. How can I do that? By asking you questions. Questions are the great connectors. I also work to serve the leaders of my own companies. Every year I ask them, what can I do to provide a growth environment this year for you? Each of them has different needs and expectations that I would not know about if I didn't ask. And I try to give them what they need. Leadership by assumption is ineffective. Are you tailoring what you give according to what your partners need? If you're not, you won't be partners for very long. 5. Never violate the trust they have in you. Trust is the foundation of any solid relationship. Trust can't be established quickly. It must be earned, proven, and tested over time. Once it has been established, your partnerships benefit from a trust advantage, which makes them function more smoothly. To be a good partner, you need to be dedicated to adding value to others and being faithful to the trust they have put in you. 6. Exceed their expectations in everything you do. Do you want to develop great partnerships and continue to thrive in them? It's very simple. Consistently exceed the expectations of your partners, and your partnerships will expand. Everyone will want to be a part of whatever you're doing. 7. Respect the relationship and grow in it. Too often, people gain a partnership and then take it for granted. When that happens, the partnership begins to deteriorate. It becomes strained. And it's only a matter of time before it falls apart. For that reason, I practice gratitude for the partnerships I have, and I also work hard to earn the respect of others. Partnership cannot thrive today on respect that was earned yesterday. It must be continually re-earned. Do you respect the partnerships you have, whether you earn them yourself or gain them from the work of others? Are you doing the hard work to keep re-earning respect? Don't take for granted the people who work with you or what they bring to the table. Howard Schultz, the chairman and CEO of Starbucks, said, "Victory is much more meaningful when it comes not just from the efforts of one person, but from the joint achievements of many." I have certainly found that to be true. If you want to take your potential to the highest possible level and achieve more than you ever dreamed possible, then choose to collaborate with others. There's no greater way to increase your potential, and no more enjoyable way. Partnership potential questions. 1. Are you naturally a soloist or someone who wants to be part of an ensemble? Do you think of ways to work with others? Or do you plan to work alone? How can you change your thinking to develop more partnerships? 2. What work are you currently doing that would benefit from partnership with someone else? Whom could you ask to partner with you today? 3. If you are a leader and have people who report to you, do you think of them as partners you serve or as employees who serve you? How would your capacity increase if you thought of them as partners? Conclusion. As you finish listening to this audiobook, I want you to know that I believe in you, and I believe in your ability to increase your potential. All you have to do is follow this formula. Awareness plus ability plus choices equals potential. If you are aware of yourself and your ability to improve, if you develop the abilities you already possess, and if you make the daily choices that help you improve, you will reach your full potential. I hope that you now realize that your life need not have limits. As long as you're breathing, you have places to go and ways to grow. You can improve. You can do more. You can make a greater difference. It's all within your reach. My hope and prayer is that you'll seize it. This has been a Hachette Audio production of The Power of Your Potential, How to Break Through Your Limits, written by John C. Maxwell, read by Christian Steiner. produced and recorded by Audio Media Production. The Power of Your Potential is also available in print and digital formats from Center Street, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette Audio productions, visit us at hachetteaudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 2018 by John C. Maxwell. Audio production copyright 2018 Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. Hachette Book Group supports the right to free expression and the value of copyright. The purpose of copyright is to encourage writers and artists to produce the creative works that enrich our culture. The duplicating, uploading, and distribution of this audiobook without permission is a theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like permission to use material from the audiobook other than for review purposes, please contact permissions at hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.